time to find out what's happening in drag racing around Michigan. Here is the founder of the Drag Racers of Michigan Facebook page, Todd Senior Dunham.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, it's just that easy. From the up north regions of the great state of Michigan, we are pleased and proud to have, for the first time ever, anywhere, Todd Senior Dunham from the Detroit, I was going to do it again, from the Drag Racers of Michigan Facebook page. He is the founder, the curator, he is the everything. And his staff of over 50 people chroming the state of Michigan, doing chromingly good things. Hiya, Todd.
How you doing, John?
How are you today?
I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to pay all these 50 people that are doing all this work for me.
Well,
they're not doing much work. It seems like it's all falling on me lately for some reason.
Well, there'll be a new turnover.
I'm telling you.
You can put in your applications at Leighton Corners.
Over to Possums, I'll bet
you
they're
right. That's right. Yeah. Stop by and get yourself a gallon. Anyways, Todd does so much work. If you want to know anything about whatever's going on in drag racing in the great state of Michigan, it's Drag Racers of Michigan Facebook page. That's all you got to put in. And everything that you need to know, and it doesn't matter if it's all about the tracks or there's about a racer or somebody's selling something. If it's one-stop shopping, this is the mire of drag racing. See, and that's why we should get you a plug-in with these guys.
Mires of drag, okay.
Yeah. You like that? It's one-stop shopping.
It's not bad. It sounds pretty good.
But would even sound better if I pulled over to the side. What is happening in the state of Michigan in drag racing, Todd?
Well, I'll tell you, I've kind of been looking through the page lately, and there was a couple things that have come across in the last couple weeks that I thought was pretty interesting. One of them was a new Facebook page. It's called Top Door Slammers of Michigan. And I thought this was really cool. This is going to be kind of a new little series that it's kind of like on the ground floor. They're just getting guys together and trying to get some people involved. And what it's going to be is it's going to be some of the fastest door slammers in Michigan and whoever else, wants to join these guys. The tracks are going to be in Michigan from what I'm told. They've got a couple lined up already. But it's what it is. It's like mid 4 second and faster.
Wow.
Door cars. They're going to run off a Pro Tree. Right now it's just big tire only. Heads up racing. It's not a bracket race. It's heads up. Run what you brung. And like I say, anybody that, if you don't have to be from Michigan, you can be, Canada, Indiana, Illinois, any one of these states, you can come up and race in this group. So, I was talking to the guys, they were supposed to kind of get together this weekend, and with the weather we had.
Sure, yeah.
They weren't able to, kind of get a little more organized. So I'm still hammering away at that, trying to find out what's going on, because that really seems like that would be a good time.
Wow, yeah. This is just like the four-speed group or something? I mean, this is not like a new association, like a new IHRA or something? Or
No, this is just a group of guys. Some of the tracks, they have, what is it called? It's like a big quick eight
right.
class.
Yeah.
And those are at some of the bigger events, the weekend, the holiday events and stuff like that. But that's a bracket race. They still run as bracket cars. These guys are kind of, I believe, and I'm going to find out if I'm wrong or not, because I'll get a phone call as soon as this is done. But I believe that this is kind of a spinoff of that, but with a few, like the Pro Tree and the Heads Up Racing and all that kind of stuff. So it sounds to me like it's going to be pretty neat.
4 seconds and quicker.
I would say four, probably four. In the mid four range and quicker. is what I'm guessing.
Because we're not talking, this is your uncle's 32 Ford with a flathead.
That's in an eighth mile, too.
Yeah, okay.
That's an eighth mile. I better clear that up.
Yeah, I was going to say, unless you're running Art of Fonz with the jet again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so they're based out of Michigan somewhere?
Yes, I believe Justin LaRocque.
Yeah?
Talking to. So I believe it's going to be kind of based out of the Bay City area.
Okay.
I don't know if he's the only one that's in charge of it, but, you know, there's a group of guys, and he's the one I've been kind of needling for the last couple weeks. So.
Well, you know what we got to do? We got to talk to them a little bit further, don't we?
Yes.
You know, we should bring them over on our side because this really sounds fun.
It does. It really does. And I'm hoping that, like say, they can finally get together and maybe because, you know, these guys are fast, so they're going to require a little extra track prep than, you know, what you might normally see, which then again takes a little extra time and trying to fit these guys into, you know, these race weekends, you know, is going to be a little tough. So it's going to do some finagling and stuff. And the odd thing about it is I've looked at some of these schedules, the ones that I have seen.
Right.
And man, these tracks are booked. They are booked.
They've like
got
who?
Some really neat races, and it's almost every weekend.
Like what? So, what do you see?
Well, you know, I'm looking at Mid-Michigan is out. You know, their schedule is out where you can actually print it off and read it. And there's very few weekends in there where they're not racing.
Really?
You know, yeah, very few.
Starting when?
Starting, I believe it's the first week of April. You're going to have in April Test and Tunes.
Sure, yeah.
Most of the time. And then starting like the 1st of May is when they're going to take off. And it's nonstop till probably end of September.
Wow.
Yeah. So Mid-Michigan's is out. Northern is out. I'm not going to comment on Northern's. Because I got the big guys coming in after me, so I'm not stepping on any toes in the first day out. So we're not going to do that. So,
yeah, I mean, okay, so there's two out already. I know that Ubley is probably going to hold back theirs until Sunday.
Yep. The other one is 131. It's not a printable schedule, but if you go to their website, you can click. There's a if you scroll down about a quarter of the way down the page. You can see where the 2020 schedule is, and you can. There's little arrows forward and back, and you can go through the months, and it will show you the months and what is scheduled throughout, you know, the summer there, which they are their jam too.
You know, they're always interesting to have because they are such a big track. I mean, physically a big track, so they can do. They're a little more flexible with things that they can do, and they sometimes have the barnstormers come in, the folks that, you know. The traveling troops of whatever cars, whether they be the gassers or the four-speed cars or the stick cars or whatever. You know, it's interesting to see what they have.
It is. It is. And now, let's change gears.
What? Oh, nice.
We got something else coming up that really surprised me. Grudge racing at Mid-Michigan Motorplex.
Yes.
Now that, my jaw about hit the floor when I seen that. And I thought, man, that is really cool. That's going to be neat. Never before, I guess, from what I've been told, have they had grudge racing that we know of at Mid-Michigan. So Peso Productions is going to come in, and I believe that's in September 11th and 12th. They're going to come in for 2 days and hold that grudge racing and that's going to be something to see.
Now, was that the same people that were at Lapeer last year?
You know, they were at Lapeer. I know that they're at 131. They may very well have been at Lapeer last year. I think it's J. Peso Productions.
Right, yeah, they're pretty famous. Yeah.
So that then again is going to be, that's going to be a pretty cool thing to, I'm not going to run in it, but it's going to be cool to watch.
Yeah, all by far, and especially because they do a nice promotional work, too.
They do. They do. They do it really well. So I want to see, you know how we talked before about the grud racing and all the people around the cars and up on the starting lines and all that stuff. That's going to be interesting to me. If I go there for nothing else, I want to see how that works out.
You're going to stand on the track?
I'm going to be right on the track. I'm going to look right at Mike. Here I am, Mike. Here I am.
See, that's why we bring Greg and Sue, because we hide behind the both of them.
There you go.
That clutch goes away. Is that the only grudge that you've seen this year?
No, there's, I believe 131 has two of them.
Two of them?
Yes, they have two different events, and let me see, called Battle of Titans.
Gotcha.
And I believe it's May 15th and 16th, and then again August, I believe it's August 21st and 22nd.
Wow.
So, yep. So there, you know, that's really coming on. That's really coming on. And like you say, schedules aren't out for some of the other tracks, so we don't know. There may be even more.
Yeah, see, and that's kind of the fun thing. This is kind of like what the old car shows used to be like. This big anticipatory feelings of, ooh, you know, and even better. When Pine Knob used to announce in the newspaper the 2-page spread of everybody that was coming in that year. It was perhaps one of the fastest selling newspapers of that time because, my God, you couldn't wait to open it up and go, wow, look who's coming in, you know?
Right. Yep.
This is cool, this is not cool. And that's why there is times that we jump all around when we see, you know, that they release their new schedules out. You know,
yes.
with all the Mopars versus the Worlds and the Blue Oval Racing and the Grudge stuff and who's got the gassers, who's got the four-speed. There's always racing, but then there's always like these little caveat races that just catch your eye.
Yep, there is. And like you say, they have some of the old nostalgia funny cars and dragsters and the old door cars at 131. That's really cool to see. They have the big IHRA events, the national events that come in there.
Right.
That may be once or twice a year at 131. They're a big draw. They are a big draw.
You know, that's the kind of things that we know that we expect, like the funny cars and like the Detroit Dragway reunions and all that stuff to happen at Milan and 131. But you know what really kind of surprises me, the one that I guess we look forward to the most, are the they're not the smaller track because everybody the same size, but the folks that are more community based. You know, the Northern Michigan, the Ublies, almost Onondaga back in the day when they had. It's interesting to see their schedules, you know?
Right, exactly.
To see who they're bringing in because they're a little bit more compact, you know, but you wonder as, you know, the Genowicks and the Ledfords, et cetera, you know, what can they bring in? What are they scratching their heads and going, you know what, this would be cool at our track?
Exactly. And that's another thing, you know, you're looking at these schedules and you look, you know, 10 years ago at these schedules and they were bracket race,
mm-hmm.
you know, they might have, you know, obviously they'll have their Memorial weekend and their Labor Day weekend and their 4th of July. And then, you know, there were a couple events here and there, but, you know, it was just your normal points bracket racing.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at them and it's like, yeah, there's a bracket race there, and then there's a whoa, oh, yeah, there's another bracket race there. Oh, holy smokes, look at that. And it's just, it's phenomenal what these track owners have done,
yeah.
you know, to bring in people, to bring in racers from all over the place and just build the state up. It's just, it's fantastic.
It is, and it's kind of amazing, too, because bringing in some of these barnstorming events ain't cheap.
No, it is not.
Because a little known secret, friends, or whatever, that when you see like the 4-speed cars come in and stuff, they come in as a pack and they come in as a show and they would like some money.
Right, exactly.
And of course, you know, it's just like if a band came into your bar, they would want to be paid for their stuff too. So some of these things, to put on a really, really good show, you know, these track owners have to go deep into their pocket.
Yes.
And they hope to God they don't have a lot of rain that year.
Well, and yeah, speaking of rain, you know, last 2 years have been, you know, fantastic for rain. It's good for your grass, but it sucks for drag racing. You know, and that's another, you know,
it's true.
People don't realize the other things that go into the drag race and the liabilities, the insurances.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the worry that I'm going to put this big event on, like you said, and oh, crap, it rains. Or Michigan, it snows.
Yeah.
Or, you know, nobody shows up because there's another track that's having an event. Everybody wants to go there. And it looks to me like, you know, I don't know if these guys ever talk in the off season amongst each other to try not to put their big events against somebody else's big events. But it looks, you know, from the layperson that they do a pretty decent job.
Yeah, because we noticed that they spread around the Mopar versus the Worlds.
Yes.
You know, and then whatever, the Chevy Nationals and whatnot. It's kind of interesting because I don't know how long Mopars versus the Worlds, say, just to have an example, has gone on. But, boy, that's caught on.
It has. It has. And it's, I don't know. You know, everybody's, you know, really tendered to their own make. You know, everybody, you know, if you're a Chevy guy, you love Chevy, Mopar. You know, and you can't wait to put that against the Fords or
yep.
the Mopars, you know, or the Toyotas or, Toyotas. You know, whatever it is. You know, you can't
Toyota.
Wait to line up again. Yeah, one of the, you got to throw
yeah.
in there.
Yeah, for the NASCAR people. Okay, good. You know, yeah, you're right. And you would think about it because there is, I think Northern Michigan last year, they had the Ford event, the Blue Oval, whatever, and
yep.
evidently was phenomenal for them.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
And who would have thought, but it's kind of cool that there's still a Ford versus Chevy versus Chrysler versus Toyota.
Right. And they have, you know, they have the Bowtie Challenge and the Mopars against the World and that Blue Oval battle, and they... it's crazy every race. I mean, they're packed.
Yeah.
They're packed.
It's amazing, too, because if you're an owner, and we've seen this on so many different levels, but if you're a drag strip owner, and I don't mean to talk for them, but they have to be scratching their heads and going, we are going up against everybody with a cell phone and plays games.
Yes.
How do we get them in our stands? How do we get them to sit between rounds? How do we get them in the door? It's a constant thought. I mean, just because you don't show up, they still have to, like you were saying before, they still have liability insurance to pay. They still have to mow the lawn. They
yep.
have to still make sure everything, whether you show up or you don't, their bills are still coming.
Right, exactly. And that, you know, that's the big question. How do you get the fans in the stands, the non-racers?
Right.
How do you get them in there? And you know, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. It, you know, if you, like CKIW does, if you're at the racetrack and them kids can sit in the stand with their phone and listen to you talk while the racing's going, maybe that's going to be the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we have a couple of ideas on our side. And, again, we're going to... We got some aces up our sleeve. Matter of fact, we'll be talking to you on Sunday personally about these things. But there is, you know, there's folks that go, all right, look, as much as we go around track to track to track, and when we talk to the laypersons and stuff, you're in a strange situation because your basic age group is 47 plus.
Yeah.
It ain't 20. You know, it ain't 18, it's not 16, because the older folks are bringing their grandchildren, and the grandchildren are not used to sitting in the sun on wood
right.
when there's 25 minutes between rounds.
Yes.
You know, and so there was like, well, why don't you put a band out there? And we were talking to Nick Jenowick about that, and they go, yeah, and how about security that we have to do and more insurance we have to do? And I mean, things that we never thought about.
Right.
You know, how do you do that? I mean, we know that the biggest complaint there's two. One we could talk about is they don't like eighth mile.
Right.
It's quarter or nothing because they see smash and gas and you go 660 feet, we're done. Next.
Yeah.
And now you wait 25 minutes.
Yes.
All right. How many, you know.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, the racers, I think for the most part, they like the eighth mile. It's a lot easier on car parts. But, you know, it's also tougher because you have half the time to make your adjustments and your judgments.
Yeah.
You know, from start to finish. So from that standpoint, it's actually a little tougher to do. But yeah, you know, I go to these racetracks, and if you go to a normal bracket race, they roll. These guys are flying. They're going through their classes and stuff, and it's nonstop. Unless you have an oil down or a breakage or something like that, they zip right through them.
Hello, LaPierre.
Yeah, yeah, jeez.
Yeah.
But, you know, other than that, it goes, yes, you do have, you know, track prep in between the classes and stuff like that, but those roll. When you get to the high-end guys like this top door slammers of Michigan and stuff like that, obviously, you know, it's got to be safe. So, yeah, there's going to be a little bit more track prep. There will be a little bit more downtime. But like you were saying, you know, the bands and stuff like that, it's like the snowball effect. That would be really cool, but then we got to do this, and we got to do this,
yep,
and that, but we
got to
do
right.
this. And it's like, really? Whose idea was this?
He's know? Fired.
Who come up with this? Yeah, because now you're paying.
Yeah, but that's
you're going to get Todd's 50 guys that work for him, and they can come over here and take care of this.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what they were saying, because when you watch it on TV, it's a little bit different than watching it in person, because a 660-foot race, you're done.
Right.
You know, I mean, they see fuelers do the 1,000-foot in 3 seconds. I mean, you could not get off the couch and touch your television set in 3 seconds. Okay, now you got to wait 25 minutes, and there's nothing going on. You know,
and you do this for 4.5 hours.
Yeah, in the sun.
In the sun, and you watch, what, 3 classes? 4 classes, maybe.
Well,
Top fuel, funny car, bike, and pro stock.
Right, yeah. And there's cars that you can't relate to. And if you like the, you know, at a 1,000-foot race, you're done. You know, I mean, when you're doing 1320, you know, okay, you can see something going on. You see the inertia at top end. You can see a shift, a lead change.
Mm-hmm.
660-foot. Whoever, you know, if you cut the tree, yay for you. But see, you, Todd, are in a really unique situation because you see the racing from both sides. You're actually a participant, and you can see it from the stand side.
Yeah, know? But see, that sometimes that's not a good thing because you're going to catch it from both ends.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, I mean, it is. I was always for the quarter mile. I love the quarter mile. I just like, you know, getting in high gear and letting it sing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, and then when a couple years ago they cut the modified, and it used to be pro, back to when it was NHRA, and then it went to IHRA, so it's modified. When they cut them back to the eighth mile, I'm like, oh, man, am I going to really like this, you know?
Right.
And then once you do it a few times, oh, yeah, this is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny because there is the dividing line right down the middle. You have the people that are sitting in the stands going, no sport has cut their lengths down to a half. I mean, they, you know, baseball didn't have a 30-foot, you know, between the mound to the plate.
Right.
You know, and if you did, how dull would that be? How about tennis? You cut the court in half.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, why would you watch this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you were watching tennis and you had the court literally cut in half, you know, okay, how dull would that be? But what you do is volley, 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 wait 25 minutes, volley, 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 wait 25 minutes. Now, from the driver's side, you know, and also there was a thing of it's drag racing. If you didn't build your car to go a quarter mile, you know, maybe you're not building it, you know, but then again, we are not talking, and now here's the driver's side. We're not talking teams that are sponsored by Coca-Cola here. You know, if
right.
it breaks, you're going to have to go tell the wife, we might not buy that suit this year.
Exactly.
This
we're
going
to have to keep wearing that same old suit.
Yeah. You know, so you kind of go, yeah, it's easier on parts and stuff, but now that's your catch-22. It's easier on parts. You can race farther because your engine isn't taking the quarter mile wallop, but you're not getting anybody in the stands.
Right.
You know, and I take that back. You get people in the stands. Let's be clear about that.
Yes.
You know, but the casual fan, you say you're going to go racing, and they go, is it going to be 3 seconds, and I got to wait 25 minutes? And it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's any way to speed up, you know. And then again, here's the other thing where the track owner may be involved in this. How do you tell in between rounds? I mean, it's 25 minutes, isn't it, between rounds?
Give or take. Yeah, I would say that's pretty close.
Yeah, okay, so how does a track owner go, guess what, folks, just like in basketball, we're going to have a shot clock. You got 15 minutes. Get it going. You know, now, how long would that make people scream in the pits? Is 25 minutes too long, too short, you know, for the racer?
Well, you got to, you know, there may be 25 minutes in between rounds, but when a guy takes off, makes his pass, goes back, throws his charger on, you know, checks everything, you may have 25 minutes in between rounds, but you have quite a bit more than that at the beginning of the race. So the 25 minutes in between rounds is there's nothing wrong. It could probably shorten up 5 or 10 minutes. It's not going to affect them. But now you get to the later rounds where you're in the semifinals and stuff like that, and there's not that many cars. The turnaround is going to be a lot faster. You know, you're not going to have as much time because there's a quarter of the amount of cars that you had at the beginning of the race.
Right, yeah.
So that 25 minutes right there towards the end of the race is going to help a lot of people out, getting cars cooled down and stuff like that. So
15 minutes in between for the first two rounds and 25 for the semi and final?
I'm guessing, but you're going to have to run that by the owners.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. No. No, but I'm just saying, I mean, just because everybody, and this goes back to your original premise, how do you get people in? What's important to you? The people, the racers. You know, you want to have that combine both.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, how long does it take you to prep the track?
Right,
That's the other thing, you know. So, yeah, if you can get that done in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, then they're ready to go. But, you know, it all depends on what's going on, you know, how far they're putting the sticky stuff down. There's a lot involved into a track prep, and the track may need that 25 minutes to get that done, once again, to make sure everybody's safe.
Yeah, and, you know, the funny thing that I've seen is there is no track, and I mean no track, that's not generous with putting down the sticky.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I saw the guy from Northern Michigan. There's a gentleman with a hose, and he does a hell of a job. I mean, he's entertaining when he does it. And I've seen Ubley just dump gallons down. I mean, to the point where you can't walk across because you'll lose your shoe.
Yep.
You know,
but has Nick done that? Because Nick's up in the tower going, okay, that's enough. No more. No, his stuff's not cheap. It's not like putting Windex down.
You know he can hear you, right?
Yeah, he probably can. He's probably going, yeah, Todd, you tell him.
No, Nick, I would say that they're extreme. They're the first people that we've seen that really put down the goo. They're not chintzy with theirs. You know, they're not chintzy. LaPierre has a crazy prep track.
Yep.
You know, but you got to.
Like I say, you know, even I see they go down there with their tractors and their wands, and they're, like you say, they're not cheaping out anywhere. They're laying that stuff down thick.
No. Yeah. I mean, we see Mid-Michigan has that, doggone it, I forgot the young lady's name that lays down the goo over there.
I do not know her. I've never met her.
Yeah, we met her and we had a picture taken with her, and she's as fun as can be, but that's her gig. You know, her whole thing is laying down the sticky, which I don't know if that sounds right or not, but, you know.
It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
It's all in fun.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's what she does, you know, and she's very proud of what she does, you know, and I think there's everybody that does prep work, you know, is extremely proud, and you see the folks like at LaPierre. And it's funny, we talk like LaPierre, like it's like a relative in the hospital. You know, we wish him the best. We'd like to talk more about him, but we don't know how it's going to go. You know,
I just seen something about LaPierre on
the
Facebook.
The 21st?
Here. Yeah, so there's Hazel, man. They're still having an awful time there.
Dear LaPierre, you know, look, with all the weirdness that's going on, if you separate the wheat from the chaff, the guy has the track. One of the, you know, that concrete, that diamond cut is wild.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we need as many tracks as we can get. Losing Onondaga was not a fun thing last year. You know, it wasn't a mid-major track by any means. It's a community track. But, I mean, it was, you know, grassrootsy as far as you can throw it.
Right, exactly. And you know, it deters people from going to different tracks when they have to drive three, four, 5 hours to get there. And when you have one, you know, in your backyard within an hour, 15 minutes, and it goes away, boy, that just takes the wind right out of your sails.
But, you know, the funny thing is that's depending how much of a drag fan you are, because I get your opinion on this. Of all the drag strips that are still left in Michigan, they seems to me they none of them are cookie cutter. They all have their own personality in spades.
Yes,
you know,
they do.
Big time. You know, we're not really sure about what Milan is. You know, it's a unique track. You know, but 131, you know, is the big boys. Mid-Michigan, what a layout.
Yes.
You know, I mean, ugly, beautiful lawn. I mean, well kept up. Nice track. I mean, and now with the new asphalt, this is going to be kind of fun. Northern Michigan, man, community.
You know, I've seen the pictures at Northern, and it reminds me of a Friday night high school football game.
You know, in the very best sense, I understand where you're going with that.
Yeah. This is what we do on Friday nights and Saturday nights. We go to the racetrack.
Yeah,
and
Saturday morning.
They just pack them in, you know, and that's really cool.
It is fascinating, but you know, it's also fascinating. What did we tell you, 10 minutes, 7 minutes?
You said 5 to 7 minutes.
You know, once again, we could do this for a whole hour, Todd, but we want to make sure that we get Brian Ledford up here. I'm sure that he's chomping at the bit right about now.
I don't need any issues from that guy, so we'll call her a day.
Absolutely, we will. Todd, everybody that needs to get to see your page, it is Drag Racers of Michigan Facebook page, right?
Correct.
Click on it, like on it, do whatever you got to do. Folks, you will not go wrong. If you have to only have one Facebook page besides CKWI Radio 76, have Drag Racers of Michigan because you won't miss out on a thing. And matter of fact, you're not going to miss out on a thing because Todd's coming back right here on CKW at 4:30. What do we got you next week? No, a week from
today. Two weeks from today.
That's right. Make sure you circle that on your calendars. Cool?
Sounds good.
All righty, Todd. Good. Hang on for a second. I'll talk to you in just a moment.
I will. Thank you.
Right. You're quite welcome. CKWI Radio 76 with the human beings, nobody but me. Come